parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
David Kerry joins us once again. David, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. I got a call from Ghana myself.
Did you?
Yeah. 10 days ago, yeah.
Yeah, there seems to be a spate of it at the moment.
Yeah.
I have noticed that my... first question is this. I've noticed that my two-year-old boy pulls at his hair and pulls out his hair, mainly on one side of his head, since it was long enough to pull, and he has had fine motor skills to do it. I first noticed it when he was coming up to his first birthday. I've been keeping it quite short since, so he can't get a grip on the hair, but as soon as it is long enough, he starts again. The baldness caused by the pulling is not immediately obvious to people, but you can see it, especially if you lift up his hair and look at the scalp underneath. He pulls at the hair in various situations. I can't isolate any particular trigger. He often pulls at it even when he is relaxed and comfortable, such as while someone is reading him a bedside story. It is definitely exacerbated by a stress, though. 3 months ago, in anticipation of a house move, a new baby, in a short space of time, we cut his hair really short with the clippers. He looked like he had joined the army, and everyone was commenting on it, but we didn't mind, and it did stop the hair pulling during all the upheaval. I've never drawn any attention to it. Sometimes I gently move his hand away to try to distract him if I see him doing it. He's a happy, sociable boy, however. Now that his hair has grown again, the hair pulling has restarted and I'm beginning to worry about it and think I should intervene. I'm wondering if there's something I can do when he is young.
He's very young for interventions, unfortunately. Mm. I like what you're doing and keeping the hair trimmed quite short, and I think you need to stay on top of that. I think you need to perhaps suggest to him that maybe get a stress ball, by the way. And whenever you see him doing that, say, oh, let's play a different game. See how many times you can squeeze the ball with that hand.
Mm.
Distraction, providing an alternative physical response is probably all you can do at age 2.5. Because he's very young. Well, he's actually only 2.
Yeah.
So you can't bring him for therapy at age 2.
Yes.
What's... You're going to say something.
What's causing it? Or is it?
Well,
look,
anxiety is usually the main cause of these things, and the hair pulling is a soothing device. Now, obviously, it's going to cause problems if it continues because there will end up being a permanent bald spot there if he just keeps pulling and pulling.
Mm.
This sounds like it could be the beginning of trichotillomania, but we can't treat it in a 2-year-old. He doesn't have the verbal skills. He doesn't have the cognitive ability to work with things. The best you can do is what you're doing, I'm afraid, right now.
Yeah.
And see if there are any other signs of anxiety. Is he in crush, for example? Is there anything going on in his life that's stressing him?
Mm.
Seemingly not, because he's a happy, well-adjusted little fella. But I think you need to look more deeply into the environment and how he interacts with it and who he's with and when he's with them. He's doing it even at times when he's being read to, so it's now become automatic.
Yeah.
He's not aware that it's happening. And what we find with people who do have trich is when there is no awareness that they're doing the hair pulling, it's harder to treat because they don't know they're doing it at that particular time.
Mm.
Those that do know it and recognize the triggers, in other words, the internal impulses that make them feel like they need to do it, can be treated reasonably effectively most of the time. Again, 2-year-old boy, not much we can do in terms of therapy or therapeutic and clinical interventions. Keep the hair short. I think that seems to be working.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you need to stay really on top of that. And there's lots of hairstyles that now, if you don't want to cut the whole head short, that permit shaving of the sides and whatnot, and you have that little tuft on the top or in the middle, and it's quite acceptable.
Yeah, and it seems to be a particular part of the head that he pulls the hair from.
Well, that's often the way it works out with these things. And it's become so habitual that he doesn't know he's doing it. So this is where I think you need some distraction. I kind of like the idea of a stress ball. If you find one that'll fit in his little hand, and whenever he's doing it, you say, let's play a game with the stress ball. Squeeze it 9 times. Mommy and daddy going to count with you or whatever. Mm. And see if that doesn't interrupt. You need to get in there quick, though. You need to be really observant of this young fellow. And before he actually pulls a hair, that's when you need to use the stress ball or a toy of any kind, a rubber duck. Doesn't matter. Mm. You're going to have to experiment a little with this. If he was older, then we could do something with it. But at two,
yeah,
there's not much we can do, you know.
Okay, well, best of luck with that. My son is six and keeps hiding on us, and he does it normally at the most inconvenient time. Sometimes we find him immediately, as we know his favourite hiding spots, but he's getting sneakier, and last Thursday he was hidden for nearly an hour, and my husband and I were starting to get really worried. He had pulled out the contents of a cupboard and hidden inside. I've explained this isn't a fun game and that I get really worried. I fear he'll do it in a public space in which he nor I are familiar and will properly lose him. I've planned a trip to the library tomorrow and I nearly bet money he'll do it again.
Well, now, you're fearing that he'll do it in a public place, but he hasn't yet.
Yeah.
So, take him to the library tomorrow. You tee it up well in advance. No hiding. You don't need to have a lengthy conversation about this at age six.
Yeah.
We don't have to go into the reasons that mommy gets worried, daddy gets worried, you could hide in a place where it isn't safe, etc. No hiding rule is in place. You might even have that somehow visually represented on a little card that you can show him when you're out with him. You need to keep a close watch on him in the library. Now, I have what's called a paradoxical intervention here for hiding in the family home. Mm. And that is, I would prescribe the symptom. I'd say, like I criticized last week for always saying Johnny. Remember some John? So I'll use my own name. David,
yeah.
Go hide on mommy and daddy. Okay? Let him go hide and don't look for him.
Mm.
And see what happens. And I really mean don't look for him. Long as, in the house, it's going to be safe, isn't it? So you can even prescribe it if you want to go hide somewhere in your room. And don't go looking. He'll come out looking for you. Oh, okay. Well, we're not playing that game anymore. Do that a couple of times. See what happens. But beyond saying, no, you can't do that, there isn't a lot you can do here. Now, he's only hiding on mommy and daddy, I guess. He's six, so he's in school.
Mm.
Is he hiding on teacher? Is he hiding from other children? No. If not, that means it's just a game he's developed and playing. It's really a bit unfortunate because you got quite a fright. He went and hid, and you didn't know where the
heck
he was.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they couldn't find him, he must be delighted with himself.
Absolutely. Yeah. What better way to trick your mommy and daddy? However, also, what anxiety for parents, wondering where in heck the boy is. Is he in the house? Is he out of the house, etc.? You may have to apply some consequences for his unwanted hiding. I've suggested prescribing some of it in a very paradoxical way. Don't go looking for him. At other times when he's hiding and you haven't wanted him to be doing that, I think that you probably need a consequence. That means loss of a privilege.
Mm.
And that has to be told to him beforehand. David, if you're going to hide on mommy and daddy and you don't tell us we're playing a hiding game, you're not going to be able to blank space, whatever it might be.
Mm.
You know, so it could be, I don't know, does he have a little PlayStation game that he's playing? Does he like to go out in the back garden and kick the football around? I don't know. But you have to provide some consequence for the unwanted behavior. I think you can exterminate it and extinguish it fairly quickly.
Yeah. Okay, we do have to take a commercial break. More questions for David after this. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. David Carey is still with us. Our first question was about a two-year-old who's already developed this habit of pulling his hair. A few comments on that. I had an awful problem pulling my hair out a few years back. I couldn't stop myself. Even when I would cry looking at the bald patches on my head, it was compulsive. It all changed when a friend held a stitch and bitch night in her house and taught me how to knit. Once my hands were distracted into knitting, I stopped pulling at my hair and eventually stopped altogether. Maybe that lady could give her two-year-old something to fiddle with, like a fidget spinner or something. Yes.
Yeah.
Look on David Carey's face when I even mentioned fidget spinner. How about buying him a doll or a long-haired teddy bear to play with? Maybe a comforter? Someone else suggests give him a hairbrush. It might help as an alternative. The Bull in Blanchardstown says, as a child, I used to pull lumps out of my hair. I would agree with David when he says it is a comforting thing. At least it was for me. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and I think the feedback we're getting is, and several people have talked about, some kind of distracting thing.
Yeah.
I like the hairbrush idea, though.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Now, you'd want to be careful about that. You'd want a very soft hairbrush, because if he's already pulling in one spot, the likelihood is he'll just keep brushing and brushing and brushing and irritate the scalp even more. So I don't know. But distraction is probably the best thing you can do at this age.
My son on the child who, the six-year-old who enjoys hiding from his parents. Sean, my son hid once, hidden so successfully, we're into 2 hours, still looking and utterly panicked, as we live in the countryside near a fast road. Turned out he'd got into bed under all his teddies, but he was so comfy he went fast asleep. He was hidden in plain sight.
I can so identify with that, because one of my two children, I always use the one, you know, so yes. Now we'll leave it open, was so self-directed that she would put herself in bed and not tell anybody. She would just disappear and go to bed. If we were at a party or a function at someone's house, she would find a place to lie down and go to sleep. We'd be frantic sometimes. Where is she? The search party would be launched in the house, you know? And, of course, the last place you think to look is in the bed. Yes. There she was. On the one hand, it was great because there was never any fuss about bedtime. She would just... Hello, she was here. Where is she now? In bed.
My 4.5-year-old boy is a terrible eater. He only eats pasta and sausages and maybe porridge at a stretch. Is there anything that can be done to get him to eat better food? He's not overweight, just incredibly fussy.
Yeah, we get this a lot, don't we, Sean? You know, yeah. And the thing to look at is the child healthy? And we've gone through the checklist so many times, skin color. Skin tone, alertness, the level of energy, et cetera, GP saying, yeah, he's fine or she's fine. Fussy eaters are just that, fussy eaters. Now, he likes pasta. There's a lot of things you can disguise in pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can very finely shred some carrots. You can really finely chop some broccoli. So it's not obviously a green thing that he won't want to eat. And try that a little bit.
I assume it changes over time.
Well, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, you know. But as long as the individual is healthy, if it's a young adult or an older child and their diet is that restricted, then talk to the GP about supplements, vitamins, which solves the problem.
Yeah.
But for now, we have this 4.5 years old. He's a terrible eater. He's fussy. Try the idea of disguising something in the pasta.
Yeah.
And see if that doesn't work. If you really need to go down that route, if he's healthy and fine and has enough energy and a nice, cheerful personality, maybe not fight the battle.
Yeah,
you know?
There's not that much to worry about for the time being, at least. My two sons share a bedroom, as our house isn't very big and they will have to share for the foreseeable future, really. The problem is how physical they become with each other at night when it's bedtime. They fight nearly every night and it can get out of control so quickly. They're 10 and 12. My wife and I pull them apart and try to calm the situation. They are the best of friends and complete enemies in mere moments, it seems. Some nights I think they're going to come down through the ceiling. How do I stop them from beating each other up?
Gosh, you know, sometimes I feel so impotent in regards to these sibling rivalry issues, and because I don't have any brothers and sisters, so there was no one for me to take lumps out of, nor to take lumps out of me. From what I hear from friends and acquaintances, some of this is just normal. That, you know, brothers and sisters fight and they, you know, beat on each other and whatnot. Now, I don't know how severe this really is. You might try sending one up to bed, and like the 10-year-old should go to bed maybe a half hour before the 12-year-old.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
You know, this is kind of what we do. We have different bedtime, depending on developmental level of one child as opposed to the other. If you tried the simple thing like talking to them and asking them what's going on, you know, why is it that, you know, all these nights, night after night, you're fighting up in the bedroom when mom and dad aren't there? What's happening? And you, well, of course, you know what you're going to get. Ah, he did this to me, and oh, you started, he did that to me. The magic sentence, remember? I am so surprised to see that two brothers your age can't go to bed without hurting each other's bodies. To be honest, boys, most children your age have really learned how to do that. Shut up and walk away.
Yeah.
A magic sentence. It's not called the magic sentence for nothing.
Could it be, though, that they're kind of enjoy it? Boys like wrestling and rolling around the place and beating the crap out of each other. And, you know, occasionally it goes too far and, or somebody gets angry.
Yeah. Now, this sounds to me like it's more than occasionally going too far. So we need to look into this. But you're dead right. Sometimes this is what happens. And it could be two brothers, two sisters, or a brother and a sister.
Yeah. My 10-year-old daughter is breaking down crying uncontrollably at the slightest thing. She's been retreating more and more into her room to cry. She tells me she doesn't know why. Things are fine at school and no bullying. She just feels sad all the time. It only came to a head last night as she couldn't stop crying for hours. We did some meditation together and finally got her to sleep. I'm going to bring her to a doctor, but looking for any tips or hints to help her.
Yeah, this child needs therapy.
Yeah.
This is childhood depression, more likely than not. I can't diagnose, of course, over the radio. Mm. But when you see a child whose mood has changed significantly and it's pervasive over a period of time, and they're saying they feel sad all the time, and you're having crying episodes that last for 2 hours with no known precipitant, that needs attention. That needs therapeutic and clinical attention by a specialist, meaning a psychologist or a very skilled child counselor or psychotherapist. Please do not leave it alone. Get some intervention. You're doing the right thing. Talk to the GP. Get a referral sooner rather than later. I've seen this so many times. Mm. I've seen children in schools. Back in the States when I was working in schools, I remember one girl in particular, the teacher called me in, and the desk was, it looked like she had poured a glass of water over the top of her little desk. She would have been about 8 years of age, crying and sobbing unconsolably. And this was happening day after day. Child was desperately depressed, clinically depressed, and needed help. So these kind of symptoms are to be taken very seriously. I don't want to alarm you, mom or dad, whoever sent it in, but please do follow through with GP. I think you need a referral to a specialist in dealing with children, psychological issues. Something going on here, it troubles me.
Right, one more quick one. My 15-year-old does not want to go to school. She gets very stressed and says she feels sick. We've been going to the school and they have no idea why she's feeling like this. She's not getting bullied, but despite this, she's just working herself into a mess. What do we do?
I don't know what's going on here. The job of a 15-year-old is to attend school regularly. Don't let her cop out. Most important thing is to get her into the building. I think what may be helpful, not knowing a lot about the situation here, someone to greet her in the school in the morning, bring her to a nice, comfortable place, sit down, have a little welcome chat, maybe a cup of tea, and then back to class. Someone to check in fairly regularly around lunchtime. 5 minute conversation. How do you feel? Everything going okay? Anything I can do to help you feel better about things? Something's happening here.
Could it be anxiety, maybe?
It could very well be. It could very well be. Now, there could be things happening of which we're completely unaware. The school says there's no bullying. Well, that doesn't mean there's no bullying.
Yes.
Particularly of the cyber nature.
Yeah.
So I think you need to talk to your daughter and try to ask some open-ended questions and see if she'll tell you. If not, contact school and see if they can implement a little plan along the lines that I've mentioned, because maybe her anxiety is interfering with her ability to calm once she gets in the school environment. And that can just get ratcheting up and up. Sometimes breaking the cycle of you're in the door, you go to your locker, you go to class, by having someone to talk to, someone who's nice and gentle and kind. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be the tea lady if there is one. Just some nice human being. How you doing? Nice to see you today. 5 minutes. Do you need me to walk to class with you? Yes or no? Fine.
Adriana and Nace, just going back to the fussy eater, says, my brother used to eat nothing but custard cream biscuits. My mother used to be beside herself with worry about his health. He's now a personal trainer, has his own gym. He's as fit as a fiddle. So my message is that don't worry, they'll grow out of it. David Carey, thanks a million for coming into us. We'll take a break after that. The woman who cracked codes.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie